Welcome to the Ag Innovation News Podcast presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. I'm Jamie Dickerman, your host. Thanks for being here today. And guests on this podcast shed light on innovations and value-added agriculture, highlight important work and voices in Minnesota done throughout the Minnesota ag sector. So many great stories to be told, and we love to be able to tell them here and educate people about resources and organizations that support Minnesota agriculture. And today we're joined by Mary Hartman, CEO and founder of Stable Feed, an innovative horse feed and supplemental company based in Minnesota. And Mary, thank you for taking time to be here. So good to be able to have you on the program.
Thanks, Jamie. I'm excited to be here. Really excited to be here.
Well, so great. And because not only are you the CEO and founder of Stable Feed, you're also getting a great award, AURI's Ag Innovator of the Year Award. So we're going to get into that as we go here today. But I want to talk to you about, first of all, for people that don't know you, Mary, and maybe aren't familiar, let's talk about Stable Feed. Let's tell that story, because I think it's just a great story of how it all came about.
So I actually didn't set out to start a company at all. I had a sick horse, as many of horse owners do, and I was really focused on wanting to find a way to improve her health and repair gastrointestinal health in her without resorting to medications. So my vet recommended that chia seeds could be a really great way to support gut health, but she needed a little bit more than that. So I started doing a deep dive into functional foods and what functional foods could actually do to improve the activity of chia seeds. And I came up with a supplement line of chia seeds, things that my horse absolutely loved that were really impactful, and started then seeing if I could make changes for other horses, seeing if I could do something like, say, regulate glucose for horses that are insulin resistant. And it turned out that I could. So it was all very exciting and very fun. It was in my kitchen for the first couple of years. Then I expanded from my kitchen to taking over the basement and using my husband's pool table to set out all sorts of things I needed. That resulted in having to rewire our home to put equipment into the storeroom. And it just has kind of snowballed to now not only being chia seed supplements, but also doing microbiome work and a feed line and forage line for horses. So it's just been this evolution, a very organic evolution, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, and again, you know, I love the fact that you just started as you had a sick horse. You just were trying to find a solution, and it turned out to building what that is. Do you ever look back and then think, wow, I can't believe how far this has come?
All the time, you know, and I've got one staff member who's been with me since she was in college. And we talk about that all the time. We kind of laugh and say, do you remember when we were able to make the chia products in your little KitchenAid mixer, you know, at your counter in your kitchen, right? So now we're doing tons of these products. So every day I'm really astonished and grateful. You know, it's been, we have great clients. It's been a great ride. We've had some really good support. So yeah, it's always a surprise.
Well, when you're identifying like ingredients and what you become now, and identifying ingredients, feed ingredients that you guys utilize, what do you focus in on? What's the process like?
So the first thing I have to look at is, what is the impact that I'm trying to get in the horse? What is the problem that I'm trying to address? The second thing that I need to look at is what extracts, what prebiotic foods, what compounds from foods can actually, the science know, can get at that problem, and how effective are they at working? And the third thing would be the safety. So I need to find purposeful and impactful foods that bring those specific activities to the horse, and they always need to be safe. So there's always usually a very deep dive into the NIH, NCBI, and veterinary journals to try to determine what that looks like.
A lot of research that you're doing to go into every little portion of this.
Right. There's a lot of research. And in that, because, you know, I'm not a nutrition expert. I don't have my PhD in nutrition. I studied biochemistry, but I'm not a microbiologist. I really rely a lot on experts. So I reach out to experts. I reach out to the authors of the papers that I find to be interesting if I have questions. And it's fun because I don't think most of the time people read a lot of that research. So they're always surprised to find out that there's somebody out there that's utilizing and reading their research and finding practical applications for the knowledge that they've shared with the world. So that's also really fun because I get to talk to people from all over the world.
Well, you mentioned the term earlier, the microbiome, and how that refers to a horse's gut health. Why is this an important focus for you?
I think the microbiome has been widely recognized in all mammals, really, and even for soil health, in that it includes the bacteria, the viruses, fungi, protozoa, all of those things that can have signaling capabilities in our body, or they break down the food in our body. So it's a very important part of not only establishing health, but maintaining health. And we've found the research in the horses that the microbiome, if you have dysbiosis or imbalance in the microbiome, it can upset the immune system. It can upset the endocrine system. It upsets their body systems. So we really try to focus in on the microbiome with everything that we do, with the foods that we use too, because what we're trying to do is restore or establish health in the horse. And that really seems to be where that needs to start.
Talk to me about different types of hay, because I find this interesting too, the different types and what you found here.
So I was doing one of those deep dives into the microbiome, and you know, I'm a farm girl from Wisconsin. So alfalfa and grasses, Timothy orchard grass, you name it, I was familiar with that. And one of the hays that they recommended feeding was something called sanfoin. And you know, I'd never heard of this. So when you're doing research and you're unfamiliar with topics, Google really is fantastic. It was my best friend. So I Googled sanfoin, and the information I found out about this really ancient legume was so exciting and so interesting. This is a plant that the first recorded history of it was the 13th century. This is a plant that came from Eurasia, the same place as alfalfa came from. This is a plant, though, that has some really unique characteristics to it. It is a has a little bit higher tannin level. So from that standpoint, it's a natural parasite and E. coli inhibitor. It's non-gas producing. And not only does it not produce gas, which is awesome for cattle because you can't feed them alfalfa due to bloat, it also mitigates gas production when you add enough of it into the diet. So now it opens up the possibility of feeding alfalfa to our cattle and to our animals. For horses specifically, gas colic, and colic is a problem. It can be deadly for horses. So now we're not producing gas. It, with the higher tannin level, is anti-inflammatory. It induces or causes the horses to drink more water. It's preferred. I actually have drone footage of deer standing in an alfalfa field that's adjacent to a sainfoin field. And they're, you know, eating the sainfoin field while they're standing in alfalfa. So, and the other thing is that it's really pretty. So when it's in bloom, I think it rivals the beauty of the tulip fields in Amsterdam. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's just a field of pink. So there are a lot of benefits to feeding sanfoin. And I decided at that point when reading about it that I needed to try to restore sanfoin fields to the United States. It was brought here and utilized by Thomas Jefferson, by George Washington. Jefferson was really enamored of the plant. And people who know his history know that he loved science. He loved doing these deep dives. So, but it had never really enjoyed an industry here or enjoyed popular use here because it was hard to grow. So I, at that point, though, got so excited, I thought, well, we need to start growing that here. So it's just, I think, a healthier option for the animals, for the environment. It's drought tolerant. As the environment changes, ecosystems change. We either have too much rainfall that we've seen in Minnesota, or we don't have enough. If you have a plant that you can grow on 2 to 3 inches of rainfall a year, that is a nitrogen fixer that sequesters phosphates, and yet it's super nutrient dense. The flower supports pollinators. It just seems like it's a plant that's time has come.
It really does. And it's exciting to me to hear things like this. And I'm sure for you too, just to know that this plant has been around forever. And it's great to be able to find all, you know, now something completely new and innovative way of using it.
Right. You know, well, I kind of laughed. It's called holy hay. So I've heard from a few people and a few veterinarians, it's, you know, well, we don't want to try something that's new. It reportedly is called holy hay because it was what they lined the manger for the baby Jesus with. And the stories say that it bloomed and it had this beautiful pink bloom. So it's been around a while. So it is exciting to be able to take something that is so old, you know, kind of like bell bottoms and the zippered tops that I wore when I was a kid, and make them new again. You know, we call them boot cuts and the low rise, all the low rise pants. You know, that was when I was 6 and 7 years old. So to take something that's so old and bring it back and push it into the marketplace with all these benefits is like pretty incredible and very rewarding.
Well, you literally not just, you know, creating a line of products, a new company, but really you're a new industry. And so you winning the AURI award like this, the Ag Innovator of the Year award. Talk to me about how that feels to be able to be recognized like that.
So when I first found out, it was a surprise because there is so much ag innovation in this state that to be selected out of the group of what are no doubt a lot of other amazing companies is actually, it's humbling. On one hand, it's very humbling because I know the competition had to also be, you know, when they look at this, had to be not necessarily make this an easy choice. It's exciting because, of course, we have done something unique and we've had to do it bootstrapped. Sainfoin, people have tried in the past to create a marketplace and to make this a known product, and it's always failed. So in the beginning, people, other companies and potential investors and others, I don't think thought we were going to be able to do this. There was a lot of hesitation and a lot of, well, we couldn't do it. The University of Montana and Minnesota couldn't do it. The USDA couldn't do it. There's no way that you're going to be able to actually achieve this. So it was humbling. It was a surprise. It's very exciting because I think that it opens doors for stable feed, and I think it opens doors for Sainfoin.
Absolutely.
So there's a whole lot of emotion, according to with this, Jamie. It's kind of a little bit of a roller coaster.
No question. I mean, it's like you said, you've taken it from the infant stage all the way to this, and it just continues. If people listening to this, I want you to talk about what you've learned. I mean, I know you've learned so many things, obviously, throughout this. This has been a process. Right. I mean, we could go all day, but some of the, like, if there's anything, right, any key things that you take away that you want people to know that you've learned along the way that maybe helps someone else that wants to, you know, branch out into something, maybe.
You're absolutely right in that. I think we could just spend a whole day talking about everything I've learned. Every day is a learning process. I learn something new every single day. I think that the two most important things I've learned in terms of innovating in this sector is where there's a will, there's a way. That old adage, that if you really want to do something, you need to sit back and you need to figure out what it is you really want to do. And there will be a way to do that. It won't necessarily be straightforward. The path is almost never straightforward, but you will be able to do it. And I think the other thing is to be patient. That another adage, good things come to those who wait, is you can't really force your way into something like this. It is what it is, and you need to be constantly reevaluating and just be patient for things to unfold, because they will in a relatively natural way.
When you look at this industry that you're in now, and you look at the where you may see it go, where would you like to see it go? What are some things you would like to see happen as you look forward in this?
So the part of the sector that I'm in is in the non-GMO, organic, using food as medicine sector. That's really where I see us. And it's not that I'm anti-medication. Sometimes, you know, we have to recognize that Western medicine provides a tremendous number of benefits. But I think we've become, at least in the equine sector, more accustomed to feeding a pill or a medication. And what I've learned is that maybe we need to place a little bit more emphasis on food as medicine and a way to restore a body first, instead of putting so much emphasis on treating symptoms. And I think a really good example of that would even be in cattle. Some of the bypass proteins that are given to cattle, soybean meal and corn, are high fat. And these are given to them in the feedlots. And because of some of the properties in those foods, the way the cattle digest those, they can create tumors on the liver and kidneys. So then we feed medication to inhibit the growth of those. Sainfoin is a bypass protein, so you can safely feed that to cattle. It's a very digestible form of protein, so it could, if we grow enough of it, replace soybean meal and corn for feedlot purposes. We'd get the same growth, and now we wouldn't need to medicate those animals. So now we would have a cleaner food going into the animal, cleaner food coming out for people. We wouldn't need to rely on those medications as much to get the outcomes that we want. And I think that that's really where I would like to see the ag sector in terms of food as medicine go.
Well, and you know, you're talking about, and one of the biggest words that we hear in the ag sector is sustainability. And this falls right in line with that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I think that one of the big things that we fail to think about is that, you know, we hear about the next mass extinction event, for instance. Well, the mass extinctions and extinctions, the number one driver is loss of habitat. And it's also the secondary thing for that is loss of biodiversity, right? Loss of diversity in the ecosystems. And the more monocropping that we do, the more monoagriculture we do, the less diversity we have. So, Sainfoin is a way to add into the diversification of the landscape. And because one of the products that we make, our Sainfoin forage, which is our Sainfoin feed product, which is really a supplement, but it feeds like a feed, utilizes a lot of weed species, which are prebiotics. They have prebiotic compounds in that to help system support in the horse. In order to create that, we need to gather weeds and we need to grow some of these things actually as crops. And I've got a lot of farmers that laugh when I say to them, well, I might need you to grow me some dandelions, you know, or burdock root, these things. These are foods for animals and these are part of the diverse landscape. So a sustainable landscape, to my mind, means biodiversity, and it means looking at some of these other plants that we tend to ignore or we tend to try to destroy, and repurposing them for the future, for not just ecological health and sustainability, but also sustainability in our food supply.
Great stuff, Mary. It's been an absolute treat talking with you, and I really, this is so interesting, and I appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Thank you. No, this has been really fun. I could talk about this stuff all day.
Absolutely. And congratulations again for winning that award. Well-deserved. The sky's the limit for you, and you just keep climbing. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Jamie. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Mary Hartman there, CEO and founder of Stablefeed, also Ag Innovator of the Year Award winner for AURI. That's going to do it for our podcast this time. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again with another one very soon. Thanks for listening to the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota.